Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM, with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
On ESPN.
1025, The Game.
And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN. 1025, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. We are live here at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators are hosting a fan appreciation draft party tonight from 4 to 10. Once again, come on out. You can write cards and record video thank you messages for Preds players and coaches. You can take part in a public skate, tour the Preds locker room, and much, much more. It is very exciting. Floyd, by the way, what do you think about those college baseball scores? LSU up 2-0 on Oregon State in the bottom of the third.
Didn't they? They played once, right? I think Oregon State beat them like 13-1 or something.
You would know more than me. My team lost last night. We got cheated.
Another bad call by the ref.
Two bad calls.
And this is Mr. I never complain about an official's call.
There was one at the plate that they called the guy safe. He was out. Their guy was out, and they called him safe. And then there was one at second base late in the game. Our guy was safe. They called him out. Our coach came out. He got ejected from the game. And I was a little disappointed with Coach, because after they ejected him, he kind of walked back to the dugout. I'm like, get your money's worth, Coach. Come on. You know, start throwing your hat or something.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that. So, like I said, we got cheated. And I am not a complaint about the ref guy.
Oh, I know.
But, so Derek Carr gets this huge contract, right? And we know Marcus is going to be in line to get one in a couple of years. Jameis will be in line to get one. Andrew Luck got his last year. It's just, you know, when your quarterback comes up, you got to pay him, et cetera. But Teddy Bruschi brought up an interesting point about how much the Raiders like Derek Carr. And when you listen to this, I want you to hear this, and I want you to think about how much do you as a Titans fan love Marcus?
Highest paid player. They may nickname him HP now.
Now focus.
Because in history, and congratulations to him, first of all. This is a player that's all about ball. Everybody loves him. Hardworking. He can lead the Raiders to the Super Bowl.
He says he could lead the Raiders to the Super Bowl. Floyd, in your heart, first off, for you personally, do you think guys like Derek Carr that haven't gone to Super Bowls can lead their team to Super Bowls? And as a Titans, as someone who covers the Titans, do you, when you hear those things, do you think Marcus checks a lot of those boxes as well? And as a GM, how do you determine who can go to the Super Bowl and who can't go to the Super Bowl?
I think I can look at Derek and say, you know, he certainly has the potential to lead you to the Super Bowl. I mean, I think I feel good about that. What he's done in a very short period of time in the quarterback world has really been special. You know, with Marcus, I mean, Marcus checks a lot of the boxes, but I think the jury is still out on Marcus. I mean, we're still waiting to see. If he improves as much this year as he did last year, I think that helps tremendously in moving him along. We just have to see that, because he went, you know, is nothing wrong with his rookie year, but it was his rookie year on a rotten team. I think last year we saw a much improved quarterback on a much improved team. And I think the things that he improved in are the hardest things to improve in. Strangely enough, the red zone, doing all that kind of, that's the hardest thing in a quarterback's progression. That's usually among the last things that come. And he does it right off the bat. So I think you have to look at that and you have to say, okay, you know, I feel pretty good about that. That's exciting. Now, can he do some of the other things? You know, can he prevent the silly throw? Can he stop the fumbles? Can he stay healthy? Can he, you know, all of those things?
Well, it's funny you bring those up, because to me, the two things that I really circle right now is to say, why I wouldn't say Marcus Mariota can take you to the Super Bowl today. The first thing is health. And I'm not one of those people that thinks Marcus is, quote, injury prone. Because to me, the injuries Marcus has suffered as a Titan, one was a sprained MCL on a cheap shot from the Olivier Vernon of the Dolphins. And he missed a game because of that. The other was when he got hurt against the Patriots and they sat him out the last two games of the year. Had they not been the worst team in the NFL, they probably would not have sat him out. And I think that had something to do with it. And then this year he broke his leg. You know, there's a difference between, in my mind, being injury prone and breaking your leg. But until you complete a full season, you have not completed a full season. So health, in my mind, is number one. The other thing is turnovers. And I go back to that game against the Chargers last year where Marcus made unbelievable throws in that football game against San Diego. He was fantastic, except he threw a pick six and he fumbled a touchdown. And that's 14 points you're giving the other team. You get into the AFC title game at Pittsburgh and you fumble away a touchdown, you can't win. You had that happen to you in a divisional playoff game against Baltimore.
Right.
The two teams are neck and neck. Ball goes off of Eddie George's shoulder into Ray Lewis's arms. He runs into the end zone. You lose.
Game over.
And that is, in my mind, the one thing that Marcus, that is keeping Marcus away from being in that level where I can look at him and truly say, because I really believe Marcus can make any throw on the football field.
Well, I think I would agree with you. And I would say this in addition, those things are typical of a young quarterback. I mean, it's not like he's got a problem that nobody else has. I mean, every young quarterback goes through learning when not to throw the ball, when to eat it, when to go down, how to hold on to the ball, all of those kinds of things. So it's not uncommon for a quarterback to have those issues. And I think consequently you look at it and you go, okay, I see it. I understand it. I've seen it before. He'll take care of it. You know, it's just it's something that he's got to take care of.
At San Diego last year in a 43-35 loss, Marcus 27 of 43 for 313, three touchdowns, two picks, and he did have the rushing touchdown and the fumble in which led to a touchdown. So even though Marcus accounted for four touchdowns, and that's 28 points, at the same time, he was responsible for San Diego getting 14. The question is, how can you get better to, instead of being responsible for 28 points, be responsible for 35 points and five touchdowns in a game and not be responsible for the 14 points that you give up on fumbles? Because, like, the Titans will be better next year, but let's say they get into a matchup with the Colts. Well, the Colts will probably be a little bit better too. So now it comes down to the wire, and it's back and forth, you and Indy. Even last year in the Indy game when they played at home, the Titans, I think, were down 8 late in the game. Marcus gets sacked, dropping back to throw. Ball comes loose. Touchdown, Colts. Those are the things that, to me, separate him from being able to take the Titans to the Super Bowl. And like he's, even if he fixed those things, if the team around him was good enough, they could go to the Super Bowl. But he would probably not be able at this point to be the guy to single-handedly take them to the Super Bowl.
Well, and we talked about this at a point in time. I mean, what he has to do to be considered the franchise guy, in my opinion, is he has to, at a point in time, show this franchise that I can put this team on my back and carry him. I can do that. And he hasn't been able to do that yet. Now, is that uncommon? Not at all. I mean, and I think when we talk about these things, we have to keep in mind that, in fact, the things that he's done getting to where he is right now are special things. I mean, he's a special quarterback. I just think it's, you know, he's still got a ways to go before you're going to be able to pull the lever one way or another. And the great part is, when he gets to that point, whenever that point is, this season, let's hope it's this season, and you can pull the lever and you say, okay, this is going to be my guy, then it can be that way for 10, 12, however long, you know, a long time.
And hasn't everything, though, that we've seen leading up to this kind of pointed to that? Like, that he can do those things? I mean, like, compare him to Vince Young. Because remember how, you know, everyone got excited around here after a couple of good games, and you kept saying Vince Young was Rookie of the Year and went to the Pro Bowl. But Vince's throwing motion was weird. Vince would throw into double and triple coverage. You heard reports about Vince having a bad attitude at times. Vince not always seeing eye to eye with the coach. You don't hear about any of those things with Marcus. I think Marcus throws a pretty football. I think he makes some throws that you see and you think, wow, what a throw. Vince, not to knock him, Vince never made those type of throws where you said, wow. Vince just, you were glad that it didn't get intercepted when Vince threw it. And to me, there's a big difference in that. It's like all of the tools are in the toolbox for Marcus to be that type of player, whereas perhaps a guy who experienced success early in Vince did not have those things.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, there's certainly some of that. I think we still see, you know, Marcus throw up that prayer ball that you know, where there's going to be three defenders and one receiver, and we're hoping it gets through. I mean, you've got to eliminate those. But again, I think he will. I think that is all part of a young quarterback. So, I mean, I look at where he is right now, and I think we, you know, I keep saying this, but if you've got the boxes all lined up, I mean, for this point in time in his career, he's probably checked every box with a possible hesitation of the injury issue.
Number one thing, though, stop the fumbles. I hate
those. Yeah, he's got to quit turning the ball over, and but I think he will. I think he'll learn that.
Corey Curtis, News 2, going to join us next. We'll ask him all about those type of things as we're live here at Bridgestone Arena. Hey, it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and I know a lot of you guys have big plans this weekend. I'm going to a wedding, then I'm going out of town, and guess what? I'm going to make sure that I have plenty of at those things. Fireball. That's right. Fireball Center Whiskey. It is a true whiskey. That's right. It's not fake. It's not, you know, it's not a liqueur that is walking in and saying, we're the new Fireball. Why would you want the new Fireball? Just drink the real one. Fireball Sin Whiskey, Ignite tonight. Do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to do so. Corey Curtis next. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5, the game. Live from Bridgestone Arena. Once again, the Predators are hosting a fan appreciation draft party. That is tonight from 4 to 10. And, of course, the Preds will make the 30th overall selection in the 2017 NHL Entry Draft. The big news of the week in the NFL was the contract signed by Derek Carr. 5 years, $25 million per. By the way, how nice would it be to be 24 years old or however old Derek Carr is and sign for $25 million bucks a year? It'd be pretty nice.
$40 million guaranteed? What would you – how could you not have a great life?
But I will say this. The thing, too, is we've been kind of talking about Marcus and – the reality is Marcus is going to require that type of salary if Marcus continues to play the way he does. And I think right now, if you ask me in a year, will the Titans have to pay Marcus that type of money and how would I feel about it? I think I'd feel pretty good about paying him that type of money. And Corey Curtis joins us now from News 2. And Corey, you probably have more access than any of us to the Titans, although Floyd, I think, probably has a lot and just hides it. But I will start with this about the whole quarterback situation. What would you say about the Carr deal? I saw that, and I said, that's good for Oakland that they have that guy. And what do you think that that means for the Titans?
Well, I mean, this is the contract that we've been saying all along that Marcus is going to get. It's, you know, the Titans are what? You know, tens of millions under the cap, but we've been saying it over and over again. Marcus is going to need a long-term deal. Taylor Lewan is going to need a long-term deal. And those guys are going to be – 35, 40 million a year against the cap. So the Carr deal, while it's astronomical, doesn't surprise me. Mariota's deal will certainly be in there. I think the only thing that surprises me is that it's only a five-year deal, because if you're the Raiders and you think he's your guy for the next 10 years, cap-wise and really financially, if you think he's going to be this guy for the next 10 years, you're better off giving him an 8 or a 9 year deal, because now you're going to have to pay him again in 4, and the numbers are only going to go up.
What do you make of we were talking in the last segment about all the different boxes that have to be checked, and obviously Derek Carr checks a lot of those. We were discussing the boxes for Marcus. Obviously health was one of the questions, and turnovers, especially fumbles, was the other. But as far as boxes it checks to be that type of franchise guy, how many of those boxes do you feel like Marcus through 2 years is checked off for you?
Well, I mean, I think he's checked off a ton of them. You know, number one, ability to be a pocket passer. Number two, ability to run a pro-style offense. Number three, you know, being able to lead an NFL football team. You know, four, operate in the red zone. I could go on and on. I mean, really, the only unchecked boxes for me are, the like you said, staying healthy and winning in the postseason. That's about all I need to see. Yes, he's turned it over, but he's immediately addressed those turnover issues and gotten better about it. Everything that he has struggled with, the long ball, turnovers he has addressed and gotten better at.
Corey, when you look at this new and revamped receiver group, how much better is it than what we've seen the last couple of years? I know it's a lot of its potential, but...
Yeah, it's all ifs and buts right now. We've got to wait and see. But I think when you look at Corey Davis and what he offers, they haven't had that guy. I think they thought they had that guy when they had Kenny Britt, and they got flashes of it. Now can they get it all the time? Can Taywan Taylor be all the time what Kendall Wright was for one season? I mean, I think, you know, we all like the way Rashard Matthews came along last year. I'm one who thinks Decker is clearly an upgrade on Tajae Sharpe as the Titans' third. You know, this is a guy who's great at operating in the red zone. He's another red zone target for Marcus. And then, you know, we forget about the young tight end who's got a lot to offer that offense as well. I mean, it's more diverse, it's deeper, there's more options, but it's also even more unproven, which I thought was impossible to say, but it is.
We have talked about every part of this draft class, I think, except the young offensive linemen. Have you had a chance to look at them and at least draw some kind of conclusions?
Well, I'm going to say no, because I've been in Stanley Cup mode forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as soon as the Cup was over, I was on vacation. So I did not get over, except for a couple of times, to see the Titans at mini camp during that Cup run. Now, the one guy I did see was Sexton, the seventh rounder out of Villanova. Uh-huh. I don't know if he makes this team or not, but he is big and he is athletic looking. And I like him for a project down the line.
Practice squad guy anyway, type guy?
Yeah, I mean, when you see a guy, was he 6'8"? And just when you see the athleticism with he moves, it's impressive. I think, you know, he played at Villanova, so, you know, that is a lower level. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Michael Ruse played at Eastern Washington. So, but I just, when I look at the raw athleticism and size, I think he could be something.
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest right here on Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And with the Titans, it feels like the Titans may be one of the surprise teams that everybody, when they put out their preseason projections, seems to like. And I kind of agree with him. I think the Titans are going to be pretty good next year. But we always see every year there's like an off-season team of the year. Jacksonville was this last year. And then they go out there and they're just not very good. When you think of the pitfalls the Titans could run into, what do you foresee?
The difficulties for the Titans? Well, I worry about the pass rush. You know, I like Morgan and Arakpo, but they both stayed healthy last year. Can they both stay healthy for another full season? Because I don't feel good about what's behind them. I think Dodd could be good, but I don't know. And I don't know how healthy he is. They can say he's 100%, but until I see him 100%, I don't know. So I have concerns about the pass rush. I think that's number one for me right now.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis, your hot take of the week.
You know, it's nothing new, but it's just, you know, the Predators will miss James Neal, but it's amazing when something gets taken away what it gets built up to be. He was a good player. He meant a lot to this team. But when I see words like elite attached to him, I have to scoff a little bit. He's a nice player. You're going to miss him. But if he was elite, he would have been protected.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, too, was Cali Yarncroke's contract. If you're an elite player, the other guy's contract does not make a difference in deciding between those type of players.
Look, they would have rather protected 8 players than 10, okay? They could have protected more players, but the guys that were elite are on the defense corps, and those are the ones that got protected.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Thanks,
yep.
Corey.
Corey Curtis from News 2. I think that he raises a really good point. You know how I feel about James Neal. I think he's fine. I think they're going to replace his production with young players. Maybe they add a veteran in there. But I don't look at the James Neal thing. I heard somebody today, you know how 3D has their list?
Yes.
Like, who's on your list?
Yeah.
Today someone called into 3D to say David Poyle was on their list. And I'm listening to this person, like, because James Neal is a guaranteed 20 goals a season, and they picked Cali Yarncroak, who's a replaceable player, over those guaranteed 20 goals. And I'm thinking, first of all, it's not like Cali Yarncroak doesn't score goals, and it's not like Cali Yarncroak doesn't get assists, but Cali Yarncroak's a penalty killer. James Neal is not. Cali Yarncroak plays center. James Neal is not. I've been thinking it, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, come on now. You're going to put the GM of the year on the list because he didn't protect James Neal, who's your ninth best skater? That's what you're going to be upset about? Or, in their mind, ninth best skater? I thought to myself, caller, you can't be too mad at David Poile for doing that. It made the most sense. But there are some fans out there that are just beside themselves about James Neal.
Hot.
You know what will make James Neal, like the loss of James Neal, just evaporate without you even feeling it?
What's that?
You know, like sometimes you make a trade and you're worried because, well, I don't know if this is going to work. And then it works out and you're like, oh, this is the greatest move that I ever made. If Wilson and Smith play well this year, or Wilson or Smith, and once again, I'm not counting on Wilson or Smith to play well this year, but like if Smith has 25 goals, right, which he can do, if Smith has 25 goals, you're not going to miss Neal. If Fiala comes in and has 30, which I think is infinitely more likely than Smith or Wilson getting better, but if that happens, you're not going to miss Neal. So I'm with that in terms of the missing James Neal. Okay, Fireball Hot Take Friday is about hot takes, right?
Yes.
Coming up next, yesterday we had a Hall of Fame-level Fireball Hot Take.
Woo!
I mean, it was delivered for the world to see, and I don't think the people appreciated how hot of a take it was. We will get to that next, and it involves my new favorite NBA team, the Lakers. And the reason why. I'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
With the second pick in the 2017 NBA Draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Lonzo Ball from UCLA.
See, Lonzo with his dad, his brother, family and friends surrounding him on this moment that the family always believed would happen. And as much hype as there's been around the Big Baller brand, as Jay alluded to, this guy was remarkable in terms of creating for his teammates. He led the nation in assists. He had the third most assists by any freshman in Division I history.
He's basically Jason Kidd.
My new favorite team, the Los Angeles Lakers, for taking Lonzo Ball. We went over this yesterday. Welcome back. We're live at Bridgestone Arena on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We went over this, Floyd, that because Matt Bonner, a good friend, is no longer in the NBA, I needed a new team. And so I was picking, who was I going to pick? And I decided wherever Lonzo Ball went, that was going to be my new team. So the Lakers are my new team because of Lonzo Ball. And because he's a Bruin, like you are, you have to root for him too. So, you ready for the Hall of Fame hot take?
Okay.
And there are a lot of hot takes about the NBA draft, and there are a lot of hot takes about things that were said yesterday, but there's nobody else who could have delivered a Hall of Fame level hot take than maybe the most productive hot take maker we've seen through 9 months, his father, LaVar Ball, after Lonzo was drafted on ESPN.
How good is Lonzo Ball going to be for the LA Lakers?
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Lonzo Ball is going to take the Lakers to the playoffs his first year. Come see me when he does. I have another hat on to say I told you so.
So LaVar has guaranteed Lonzo will take the Lakers to the playoffs. First of all, that is a smoking hot take. LeBron didn't take the Cavs to the playoffs his rookie year. And Lonzo's going to take these pitiful Lakers, who I don't know anything else about because I don't watch the Lakers until now, because now I'm a fan, until now. But as a GM, what do you make of LaVar's guarantee on TV yesterday?
Oh, jeez. I'll tell you what, those guys in L.A., I'm sure they saw it coming, but they're sitting at their desk this morning going, oh, my God, what did we do? And like I said before, the really, really hard part about it is he lives in L.A., so it's not like they have to go to the facility to get a hot take from him. I mean, all they have to do is give him a call He's right there. So I don't know. It's going to be wild and woolly. I mean, it's, you know, guys like that, you really have to try to fight and settle them down some way, somehow, because sometimes they'll let their mouth overload their butt, you know?
I'll tell you this. I think what the Lakers are doing is not going to work. The Lakers right now, at least publicly, are kind of going on the, hey, LeVar is who he is, but that's not who we drafted. You know, like, I dated this girl one time, right, and her parents were just obnoxious. I couldn't stand them. And I told my dad about it. I was like, I can't deal with these parents. And my dad said, hey, remember, you're dating the daughter. You're not dating the parents. So it's not. And I think the Lakers have to tell themselves every time something like this happens, hey, we drafted the son. We didn't draft the dad. But the truth is, you did draft the dad.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Every national TV game you have, guess who's getting a microphone in front of their face? They might cancel the coach's interview. You know that stupid little coach's interview they do where they take the coach and you know, coach, what does your team need to do in the second period? Well, you know, we really got to get back to playing defense the way we know we're capable of. They're going to get rid of that, and they're just going to go interview LeVar. And, you know, when they show the coach wired up, I think it's the stupidest thing I see on any NBA game, when they have the coach like, we've got to get back to playing defense. Five men together playing defense. They're out hustling us. Like, we know what they're saying. Like, we get it. They're just going to have LeVar mic'd up during the games, and you get everything that LeVar says. So that distraction's not going away. This is what Luke Walton, the coach, said, quote, I know when I was a young player, I had a target on my back from my own teammates because of things my dad said, of course, in reference to Bill Walton.
Right.
But it ended up working out. That's Luke Walton on LeVar Ball and the effect that it will have on Lonzo.
I'll say this, though. Bill was outrageous, or still is outrageous, but it's kind of league-wide.
Well, Bill's
you
just
know,
kooky.
He's unique, or however you want to phrase it.
But Bill wasn't coming out and saying that Luke was going to win the NBA title and make him $1 billion.
No, and Ball is strictly about his son, which, you know, you can't begrudge a guy for being loyal to his son. But, I mean, what if the kid is not a great player? You know, what if he's a sixth guy?
I guarantee you LeVar has not thought that far ahead.
No, he hasn't. But imagine the Lakers, if in fact he is the sixth or seventh guy, it's not going to be his fault now. I mean, you know it's going to be the Lakers' fault. And LeVar's going to make sure everybody knows it's the dumb Lakers. They don't know what they're doing. They got to get rid of that coach. I mean, that will be a daily barrage.
Well, that was like when they lost to Kentucky, UCLA did, and he blamed it on the other white players on the team because they lacked the foot speed, according to LeVar Ball, to keep up with Kentucky. And, you know, nobody even separated the fact that Lonzo is actually half white, but, you know, that's neither here nor there, I guess, according to LeVar.
Facts don't matter.
Not to LeVar. But I tell you, I love LeVar. We were talking about during the break, because, you know, the hockey draft is tonight. And I said, okay, well, you know, where's the NHL LeVar Ball? There is no NHL LeVar Ball.
No.
And you brought up, you know, that might be hockey in terms of that stuff, the Lonzo, the LeVar Ball stuff. Hockey might be one of the more boring sports in that regard. And then I said, well, baseball. And you said, well, yeah, I guess baseball's that way too.
Baseball's got it hands down.
Over hockey?
Yeah, it's got to.
Well, you know, because in baseball, if you say anything, you get a fastball at your head. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, hockey needs a little bit of this LeVar Ball from hockey and baseball. Need a little LeVar Ball, and the NBA needs a little, you know, interesting that hockey and baseball have, that their playoffs are actually meaningful and interesting, unlike the NBA's, who no one even watches their games. The NBA is so boring, and I am so glad LeVar Ball is in the mix. Can I get that guarantee one more time from LeVar? Because this is a Hall of Fame worthy hot take. By the way, if the Hot Take Hall of Fame, and the Hot Take Hall of Fame, I think, you know, obviously Skip Bayless would be in there, Stephen A. would be in there, Cowherd and Whitlock. Trying to think of some other people that would be in there. Charles Barkley would be in the Hall of Fame hot take, or the Hot Take Hall of Fame. LeVar, you know, through the first 9 months of his career, I think is outpacing all of those guys.
Accelerated pace.
It's unbelievable. This is LeVar's guarantee again for Lonzo and the Lakers.
How good is Lonzo Ball going to be for the LA Lakers?
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Lonzo Ball is going to take the Lakers to the playoffs his first year. Come see me when he does. I have another hat on to say I told you so.
He will tell you so. I love LaVar Ball. Let me just say that. I know people hate LaVar Ball. That's fine. If you looked at Twitter last night, you know what everyone was tweeting? Everyone was tweeting, oh, no, why do they have to put the microphone in front of LaVar's face? This is their fault for putting LaVar on. No, it's your fault for watching them put LaVar on. If people didn't watch when they put LaVar Ball on TV, they wouldn't put LaVar Ball on TV. That's why I don't put anybody else's dad on. If LaVar wanted to come on, we'd have LaVar in studio. I'd love it.
Yeah.
Because you'd listen. Jared and Floyd talk to LaVar Ball tomorrow at 4 o'clock. You would listen. Because even though you hate LaVar Ball, you love LaVar Ball. Let's go to the phones. On a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. If you've got a ball thought, basketball, LaVar Ball, 615-737-1025. Robert is up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Robert?
I'm just going to say this. I don't know how or it took place, but since Jordan Bell, I don't know if you remember him, but he was a monster in the NCAA March Madness. And how did the Warriors get him?
Is this on LaVar and Lonzo Ball or like other teams?
Oh, it's more about a relevant player more than
Oh, I don't care about all that.
You know,
today, I appreciate your call, Robert. I only care about what people are talking about with the NBA draft. Lonzo and LaVar. Because you know what I am convinced about? I'm convinced that Lonzo is going to be a really good player. You know, and I see this all the time in the NBA where there's a guy that gets drafted and you think he's going to be great and he never pans out. Michael Carter Williams, who was at Syracuse, I thought was going to be a great player.
Boy, it happens a lot.
And he just, don't even hear from him.
No. Nope.
And for me, I kind of look at, I personally look at Lonzo. I feel that way about Lonzo right now. Like, I think Lonzo's going to be a good player. But it also wouldn't surprise me just because this is how the NBA works, where in 4 or 5 years, Lonzo is a backup on another team. You know, and it's, the one thing I give Lonzo a lot of credit for, you know how we give Marcus credit for always doing all of the Titans things, quarterback things the right way, has the right attitude, for having such a kook of a father. Lonzo Ball is so respectable, and he's a team-first guy, and he's humble, and he's literally all the things that his dad's not.
Bruin.
And I don't know where that comes from.
Bruin.
Yeah, but, I mean, LaVar's Bruin. The one that wanted him to go there. So then maybe it's LaVar. So I don't, you know. And you know what I also kind of think of a little bit? I think some of this with LaVar is an act. Like, he knows.
Do
that,
you?
He knows.
Do you really?
He knows that it promotes the brand. He knows that's the road to getting paid is with the Big Baller brand. And so every time he wears one of those hats or puts his shoes out for $4.95, or people are talking about it. So he's going to keep saying wild things to get people to talk about it. And I get it. I respect the hustle. But I bet you LaVar is probably a much better father than people make him out to be, just because of the way his son acts.
Yeah. I mean, the son is classic kid.
And the other sons seem normal, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're all quiet. They're not – you think they'd be loudmouths, or you think they'd be
– You think LaVar – or you think Lonzo would shoot it all the time, not lead the nation in assists.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
By the way, the Tennessean – or Belmont tweeted out earlier today that – because Lonzo Ball is now in the NBA, that Austin Luke of Belmont is now the returning NCAA assist leader. So I wonder if we should see if his dad's kooky and get him on the show.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably not. We'll take more of your calls on LaVar Ball, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And I've got a strong take about LaVar. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
And LaVar, you already got the Lakers hat. I'm trying to tell you, I knew this was happening before it was happening.
When did you get this hat made?
When he was a baby.
What's it like now that this has come to fruition for you? You've been talking about it for 9 months.
9 months? You're talking about 19, 20 years.
All right, 19, 20 years.
He had a microphone on me when I was talking about it.
What's it like right now that he is an L.A. Laker?
It's a wonderful feeling. But I already knew what was coming to him. I got two more boys. I got to come do the same thing two more years.
So you're going to get them to the Lakers too. How?
The big baller way.
I know they're ready.
Ball control.
I love LeVar Ball. I know I talk about it a lot. I love him. How could you not love that guy?
He's something.
We love all those today. We love football. We love basketball. We love LeVar Ball. We love Fireball. Is it Fireball Hot Take Friday? And boy, LeVar Ball is just bringing out the hot takes over and over and over again. Ball control. That's how. We're live here at Bridgestone Arena, where they're having the Western Conference Championship celebration and fan appreciation and draft watch party all in one from 4 to 10 o'clock today. You can wear gold and bring your friends out here to Smashville to take part in that celebration and watch the Preds make the 30th overall selection in the 2017 entry draft. Here's my take on LeVar Ball, though. And you people are going to hate this, but that's okay. He's great for basketball. He will get more people to care about the Lakers. He will get more people to care. And I know that people hate LeVar Ball, but, I mean, look, the ratings go up for when people you hate are on TV. And they're going to keep putting LeVar on TV, and I like it because LeVar is bringing more eyeballs to a sport that is so boring. The NBA is incredibly boring, and LeVar is not. And that's why I love LeVar Ball, and I'm glad that he's going to be a part of all of this.
Well, I think he will as long as the kid is the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the part that's is the question is you know, if in fact the kid is a player, and we don't know that yet. I mean, I think they probably have to feel good about him. I think probably most people feel good about him. But
yeah, but even David Carr's stunk and Derek Carr's great. So maybe the other brothers are good.
I don't think this next one coming along, I don't think is.
No, he's not supposed
to be
in
the same
good.
League. Yeah.
But LaMelo is apparently, LeVar thinks LaMelo is the best of the three.
Well, I'm going to guess that if you mess this one up, by the time you get to three, you won't have as much to say.
Do you really think LaVar Ball will not have enough to say?
I would guess if I was the kid, I would make sure that he didn't have as much to say.
Back to the callers we go on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. Sam is up next on LaVar Ball. Thank you for calling, Sam. What's up?
Hey, Jared. I got to say, I don't agree that there's ties in football, and I don't agree that LaVar Ball is good for anything. LaVar Ball sucks.
Why?
Because he's awful. Like, I agree with a lot Floyd says. Floyd's got it down, but you've got LaVar Ball completely wrong. Terrible for the NBA.
But how is he terrible for the NBA? To me, what's terrible for the NBA is the Warriors, and I appreciate your call, Sam, is the Warriors winning every game by 50. That's what's bad for the NBA. Interesting is good for the league. LaVar Ball is interesting. You know what would have, I bet you would have gotten huge TV ratings last night if Lonzo had slipped in the draft. And they, every time, you know, hey, we've gotten to pick 8 and Lonzo hasn't gone. LaVar, what do you think? That would have been great TV. It would have got huge ratings. So I disagree. You cannot like LaVar Ball. That's fine, but that doesn't make him bad for the league. Now, I tell you who I guarantee you hates LaVar Ball.
Who's that?
Shoe companies.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because if this big baller brand thing works out, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because every number one pick is going to want their own brand. And you can laugh at that, but trust me. Hey, would you like a $2 million a year shoe deal, or would you like to have your own brand? I'll have my own brand. So the shoe companies probably hate LaVar Ball. Blake is up next on Lonzo Ball. Thank you for calling. What's up, Blake?
Hey, thanks for having me, gentlemen. Yep. I'm kind of indifferent about LaVar. I do think that it adds something to an otherwise boring sport right now. But I also think my kind of hot take is, I think this is all by design. I think that LaVar is kind of the spokesperson, so Lonzo doesn't have to be. And it's going to be interesting to see if that ever, like, if Lonzo works out and he's a great baller and all that stuff, how long before he kind of develops his own voice and LaVar has to kind of, like, fade out, and how's that going to all work? That'd be interesting to see it.
That's actually a pretty interesting take. I appreciate your call, Blake. What do you make of it? What point would LaVar get phased out? Because I don't see LaVar. If Lonzo is good, I don't see LaVar getting phased out.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to speculate here. I mean, if the kid is a really good player, the locker and dad's hanging around, the locker room would be an ugly place now.
Why?
Because they don't. I mean, you think all those guys in the locker room that are multimillionaire playing a man's sport are going to, you know, enjoy the fact that one of their peers is treated like a six-year-old? I mean, I don't think that'll go over very well.
Lonzo's not treated like a six-year-old, but his dad is definitely like the
King. When's the last time you've heard him say a word?
Well, he spoke yesterday when he was picked and said all the respectable things. And
did he?
That Foot Locker commercial he did for Father's Day when he listed off all the stupid things LeVar's done, like that, I thought that was pretty funny. I actually think Lonzo being normal and being, from what everyone says, a great kid and a great guy,
right,
that will go further in the locker room because they'll say, man, this guy's got such a kook for a dad who can't stop yapping, and yet he's the most humble, professional, genuine guy out there. Right. I think they'll love him.
But I think the adjective they will use to describe dad will not be kook. I mean, it's going to be a lot of other stuff, and I imagine that could get kind of tense, if you will, depending on his true relationship with his dad. But I mean, there are going to be guys in that locker room that do not like him for a ton of reasons. There'll be those that like him, and they're, you know, say it's 50-50. And those guys that don't like him, it could get ugly fast.
As a GM, would you have not drafted Lonzo Ball because LeVar is so kooky?
I would have had a conversation with him before ever got to that point.
Lonzo or LeVar?
Yeah, dad.
And what if dad said, we're going to do things the way we've always done them, Floyd? Ball control, big baller.
Then
brand.
I would draft the next guy.
And then what if he goes on, you let the local kid from UCLA, who you think is going to be a superstar, walk because dad's a kook?
Well, I don't my experience, it's hard to be a great player when you've got things like this going on. Dad is a constant distraction. Constant distraction. I mean, you can't even, you know what? He won't be, when he buys his house, dad's going to have something to say about it. He's going to, when he, the girl, can you imagine him dating?
Supposedly, Steve Alford said at UCLA, dad stayed out of it.
I don't know.
Dad didn't call him. Dad didn't go to practice. Dad didn't.
Maybe you're right.
Anything.
I don't know. But I would guess that if we're trying to sell BBB and your son is playing for the Lakers, I imagine you'd spend some time down there.
Jason is up next on the Big Baller Brand. What's up, Jason?
Not much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
Just a quick comment. I think LeVar is fantastic for the NBA.
Thank you.
I have a serious problem watching him on television, but he's great for the league. He's terrible for his own son. If I'm John Wall, if I'm Russell Westbrook, and I have sit and listen to LeVar run his mouth about beating Michael Jordan one-on-one and beat Charles Barkley and all this, if I'm Russell Westbrook, I'm circling the day that I get to play Lonzo on the calendar, and I'm taking it to him. He's going to have a rough rookie year because the point guards in the league are going to bring it to him.
Yeah, and just imagine, I appreciate your call, Jason, Steph Curry. I mean, LeVar said that Lonzo was better than Steph Curry. So now Lonzo is the one that has to play him. That being said, though, if you're going to be a great player, you're going to get everybody's best shot every game. LeBron came in with unheralded energy and excitement around him, and LeBron was fine because LeBron's a great player. So I think if Lonzo is truly great, that will not have an effect on him.
May not. We'll find out.
Do you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, I don't, you know what?
Do you think Lonzo Ball is going to be a bust?
I have no idea.
But, like, what's your heart tell you?
My heart tells me I hope not because he's a Bruin. But history tells me there's a pretty good chance. Simply because there are so many of these guys that have all their stuff together, are completely focused, completely in line, doing every single thing right, fail. And here's a guy that's got a constant distraction, probably living next door.
Ian, can I get one final LeVar Ball clip for today's show, just so that because I love LeVar Ball.
How good is Lonzo Ball going to be for the L.A. Lakers?
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Lonzo Ball is going to take the Lakers to the playoffs his first year. Come see me when he does. I have another hat on to say I told you so.
I love that guy. Oh, man, we're live out at Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators are hosting the Fan Appreciation Draft Party tonight, and also a Western Conference Champion Celebration. So much going on. And coming up next, what if Mike Fisher doesn't come back? What does that mean? Not just for the Predators on the ice, but who's going to wear the C? We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.